From Ascension Lutheran Church in Citrus Heights, California, this is the reflection for Wednesday, March 30th, 2022, the fourth of five midweek Lenten worship services. The preacher is Pastor Scott Jones.
Our first reading this evening comes from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, beginning with the first verse. Now it is not necessary for me to write to you about the ministry to the saints, for I know your eagerness, which is a subject of my boasting about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you may not prove to have been empty in this case, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, in this undertaking. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead of you, to you, and arrange in advance for this bountiful gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready as a voluntary gift, and not an extortion. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, and not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. Our gospel reading this evening comes from the gospel according to Luke chapter 21, and it begins with the first verse. Jesus looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all that she had to live on." Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are at the past the halfway point of the Red Letter Challenge, which is the Lenten devotional that we've been reading and participating in as a congregation. Today is day 28 of the challenge itself, as well as the second day of the week that we are focusing upon the giving principle. Now, we have read and responded to Jesus' teachings during the challenge about being and forgiving and serving, and we are focused upon giving this week, and we will be challenged about going next week, which is our final week. Now, as I mentioned last Wednesday, we are intentionally concluding the challenge on Monday, April 11th, the Monday of Holy Week, which will allow us to transition our focus and to participate in the worship opportunities of Holy Week. Now, our first reading this evening comes from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. This is an early Christian church that Paul has had a close relationship with, and he had a pretty good perspective of what was going on there. You see, they struggled with social and economic stratification within the congregation. There were those who had money, who had positions of power and influence out in society, who expected to enjoy those same privileges and opportunities within the church. But Paul was writing to them to try to help them understand that those labels and those privileges that they are afforded in society should not be considered within the church, where we are all equal in Christ. That lesson remains relevant for us today, as we at times struggle to see our unity in the church, not uniformity, but our unity within the church. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul appeals to their generosity as a means of unifying them around a common mission. Instead of focusing upon themselves and their differences, Paul invites them to support the establishment of new ministries, new churches elsewhere. Mission, it seems, is something that they can all agree upon. A common mission unites them. Now, we read about this a few years ago during a Lenten book study we did together when we read the book, A House United. And that book, in that book, the book's author, Alan Hilton, told the story about a couple of churches from very different traditions with drastically different doctrines who came together for a common mission. They were united in mission. They together worked to build little blue schoolhouses for children along the Texas and Mexico border. They both saw the need for educational opportunities for the children here. So despite their significant theological differences, differences that prevented them from even worshiping together, they served together. They were giving together. And as you know, giving is our principle this week. Now, Paul butters up the church in Corinth by telling them that he has been boasting about them. And then he encourages them to give to these new churches. Now, he isn't just writing to the rich members of the church, but to the entire church, because each can and should as they give as they have made up their minds to do. Don't give reluctantly or under compulsion, Paul says, but give cheerfully. Give cheerfully because God loves a cheerful giver. God, the giver of every good and perfect gift to us, is able to provide us every blessing in abundance. So out of that abundance, we give. Not to repay God, but in response to God's generosity to us. And when we don't give, we deny ourselves the opportunity to really see God's generosity at work in our lives. In fact, when we don't give, we can begin to believe that all that we have and all that we are a result of our hard work, when in reality it all comes as a gift from God, our Creator. So we are given stewardship over that which God has entrusted to us, and then we share it, giving to those who have need so that they too might thrive as we are thriving. Now, Paul wrote this letter, as I mentioned, not just to the wealthy in the church, but to the entire church, in order that he wouldn't deny anybody the opportunity to be a part of this mission, because to do so would be to overlook and neglect the gifts of poor widows, just like our gospel reading points out. In our gospel reading, the widow put 2 copper coins into the treasury, but she just as easily could have been donating them to a mission fund for new ministries. And her gift, although perhaps small in comparison to some others, is much larger than others because it was all that she had to live on. You see, she gave abundantly out of her scarcity, and so many of us give scarcely out of our abundance. The widow is generous with what little she has. She doesn't operate within a scarcity mindset, hoarding what she has, afraid of what might come. No, she puts her faith and trust in God, the giver of every good and perfect gift. She gave cheerfully because she was confident that God would provide her with every blessing. Now, if you think about it logically, if we were to each generously give to our neighbors, and they were to each do the same, none of us would have to worry about anything, because each of us would have our needs being met by each other. Now, I know some of you are thinking, Pastor Scott, that'll never work. And unfortunately, you're right, because we'll never try it. We'll never try it out of fear. We don't trust our neighbors, and perhaps we don't even trust ourselves. So instead, we rely upon ourselves and the money and the resources that we can acquire by whatever means we acquire them. And rather than trust in the golden rule about giving to others, one of the most important rules that or commands Jesus says that is given, he answers that in red letters in some Bibles. We hoard that which we have been given. We don't love our neighbors as ourselves. We don't give to others out of the abundance of what we have received. Now, what I've suggested, or actually Jesus is the one who has suggested it, does not work in an economy like ours because it's too individualistically based or too individually based. And the truth of the matter is that there has never been an economy where it has worked, at least not on a large scale. Perhaps it's worked in some families or small communities, but invariably we eventually begin to distrust others. We no longer trust them to give to us, so we stop giving to them. But what Jesus describes is a heavenly concept. The economy in the kingdom of God, which Paul says, that's where we have our citizenship. And yet we still live in this world and operate amidst the economic systems here where we live. In the kingdom of God, you can. No, in the kingdom of God, you should give all that you have in full confidence that you will be taken care of by those who have done the same. I don't know about you, but I long for the day. I long for the day when that kingdom becomes a reality right here on earth as it is in heaven. Good luck with your giving this week. Amen.